Both last week and this week, we're taking the look at children's books alongside our sermon in Scripture as our children have been in worship and Worship and Wonder has been on a break. This morning, we looked earlier at the book called Stone Soup. You may or may not remember much about the rescue of 12 boys and their soccer coach in a cavern in Thailand just over a year ago. It got quite a bit of news coverage at the time, and rightfully so. Much of the world followed the rescue operation after the boys and their coach became trapped inside a cavern when water levels rose quickly following heavy rains in the area. And it was an elaborate operation. 18 divers and a support team of over 100 people, people from areas far beyond Thailand offering their expertise, their skills, and assistance. And even the local farmers there made a contribution to the effort by sacrificing some of their fields and crops that were flooded as water was pumped out of the caves into nearby areas. One farmer was interviewed, and she said, "I really want to help them in any way possible. I wish I could get inside the cave to help them." Many people were transfixed by this story because a rescue mission, it's captivating and it's easy to root for the survival of the trapped, even more so when they're children. But I wonder if we're also drawn to these stories because they remind us of the powerful and beautiful things that can happen when people come together to work toward the good of others. Expert divers, engineers, those setting up and maintaining water pumps, farmers who lost their crops, both food and a source of income, for the sake of others. Even the 25-year-old coach trapped in the cavern with the boys, leading them in meditation to keep them as calm as possible to help preserve their oxygen. Each an important part of this story, each contributing to something that literally brought life. If you don't remember the details of the story, those boys and their coach were rescued successfully. Today's children's book is an old folk story that's been retold in several different books, even with different settings and time and place. But in each telling, the people of the village are closed off from the visitors and from one another. They've been through hard times and have become suspicious of others, both neighbors and strangers. And they spend their days largely hiding behind doors and walls, hoarding what they have for their own sake. They work and live only for themselves. And then the visitors come. In this telling of the story in the book today, it's three monks. And through a clever recipe for stone soup, people are invited to share a portion of what they have, to risk engaging with these strangers and with one another, and to look beyond their fear and mistrust and engage in what is going on. And pretty soon, what started out with a few stones and a small pot has become what is my favorite image from this particular story: a feast at a long table with room for everyone. If you read the book, it takes up two whole pages, this image of this table that goes on and on with people gathered around it. Everyone brings something to share to the table, and no one can remember the last time they gathered for such a meal all together. There's lights and food and laughter and joy and warmth. And the party goes on into the night with stories and songs. And they open up their doors to the monks and offer them a place to sleep. And as the monks are leaving the next morning, one of the villagers says, "With the gifts you have given, we will always have plenty. You have shown us that sharing makes us all richer." Sharing makes us all richer. Stone soup leads them to open up, to share, to risk, to be generous, and they discover their lives are richer as a result. Today's scripture is a familiar one to many of us. Thousands of people are fed with what starts as five loaves of bread and two pieces of fish, and Jesus asks his disciple Philip, "Where will we buy food to feed all these people?" And of course, even today, there's not any restaurants capable of producing food for thousands on such short notice. And Philip says, Jesus, even if we did have a place to buy it, that's over half a year's pay, and that still wouldn't be enough money. The need looks so great. The resources available look so small. It's easy to imagine there's no way there can possibly be enough. It's a mindset of scarcity. But Jesus is an end to the scarcity mindset. Jesus operates a different way. And in the other gospel accounts of this story, when the disciples ask Jesus to send the hungry crowds away, Jesus tells the disciples, "You feed them." And in the story, we're told Andrew, one of the disciples, says one of the young people there has a small lunch, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Only what starts as little becomes much. All the people are fed, and there are leftovers to spare. Did Jesus miraculously multiply the food as the disciples began to serve it? Were the people present inspired to share what food they might have brought with them? Or was it a little of both? Either one is a bit of a miracle. But the need is met, the people are fed. Jesus and stone soup. It's fairly natural to wonder, will there be enough tomorrow for me and my family? And this gets amplified even further when the circumstances of life makes things less certain. And maybe it even gets amplified even more when voices and perspectives in our world encourage this mindset of scarcity that lead us to close ourselves off from others, both neighbors and strangers. There's not enough. Look out for yourself and your own, some voices might say. And like the people in the village, we might be tempted to lock ourselves in and in the process miss the life and beauty and world-changing power of what could be. Because if the people in the book today in the village had stayed locked up, refusing to share what they had, they would never have known the joy and the warmth of gathering at that long table for a shared meal and stories and songs. Their doors and their hearts would have remained locked. But they risked, they shared. And each person's little, whatever it was they had to share, a large pot or spices or other ingredients or other food, it grows from a small pot with water and stones to a long table filled with food and laughter and joy and life. They discover the wonder of a life that's lived not only for oneself, but a life that shares and opens up and risks and rediscovers that we are all connected together. They realize their happiness and thriving is bound up in one another. The author Frederick Buechner writes, "Your life and my life flow into each other as wave flows into wave. And unless there is peace and joy and freedom for you, there can be no real peace or joy or freedom for me." Friends, Jesus has long been in the business of turning little into much. Jesus has long been in the business of calling his followers to share and give and risk and love. And Jesus has long been in the business of creating long tables where everyone has a seat and there's plenty for everyone, because everyone shares what they have and somehow it becomes more than even its parts. And joy and peace and freedom and life are found. And there is enough for everyone, more than enough. It starts with stone soup. It starts with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It starts with the endless choices we face, to close ourselves off from one another and the need in the world, or to open our hearts and our doors and our tables up. In choosing not to base our lives from fear and the mindset of scarcity, but choosing to operate out of a sense of trust in God that there is enough. And in living for and in and through each other, we find ourselves coming alive in ways we didn't even imagine possible. And that's the invitation of a rescue operation in Thailand, of a tale of stone soup, and a story of a Jesus who feeds multitudes. May we be inspired to open up, to share, to risk, to love, realizing that the best kind of peace and freedom and joy, we find that best kind of peace and freedom and joy when we make sure others have it as well. Amen.